chapter of the book of Acts this morning. My message is going to take over a few Sundays. I just called it God's strategy for this end time revival. And this morning, what we the church must know, what we must know as we approach the final days of the church here upon this earth, I believe we can look for a lot of things to take place. I do believe that we can be expectant of God's presence in an unusual way. The revival is going to come. They'll usher in the coming, or may be the coming of the Lord, whatever. I put nothing before that, but we must occupy till He comes. I have been stirred in my soul. As I left here, I've been preaching as regards to what we're to be in this community. And this morning, reading here in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now the day of the Lord is mentioned here in the Bible. I believe it has to do with more than the rapture. There's an end of this thing, and the fulfillment of it, the rapture, the tribulation, the marriage supper, the coming back of Christ with His church to this earth, the rule for 1,000 years before eternity actually sets in. But I believe that in set forth here, there's some things that ought to catch our attention. The strategy of God. How is God going to go about bringing about this end time revival so that He can bring about the blood, fire, vapor, smoke, and that great and notable day that hasn't come yet? There's a lot here. Peter, when he rose to preach it, said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And Joel said, it shall come to pass afterward. Peter never used that word afterward. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days. And so I'll deal with that in another part of this. But I want to point up here to you something that I believe God is saying. What will He do? How's He going to bring this about? To bring about all that's said here in the Bible. Now, the notable day means what the day that God's Son shall be unveiled before us. When it'll not be just a faith and a believing, but the day when He'll come to be unveiled before us. Now, as this day approaches, there's some things going to take place. Now, I believe you agree with me. As I was, wife and I, in England over the last few days, and thinking about that as a birthplace of some of the greatest preachers of the world, Spurgeon and Parker, and all of the great missionaries, Carey and Hudson Taylor, and so many others that have brought and blessed this country, the product of that Methodist revival, did as much in shaping this nation as the politicians ever dreamed about. And as I was there in the midst of the death, that is the aftermath and where it's gone, you think it's bad here, the decadence there is beyond words. We were in the city of Manchester, England's second largest city, and the newspaper report was it's 60 out of every 100 children born in that city are illegitimate. That's just a place that it's come. In the television, in the morning when the families are watching, wife and I was just sitting there fixing to leave the news, had just gone off on a program that was designed for the school in something of its sex education, showed men and women just totally in the nude there. No, not to be an X-rated movie, but just what the family would watch as they brought it about. And you realize something has got to take place in the church as we approach the end of this age. I look at what we have in America and a lot of the games that men play, the imitation that's come that has produced nothing but a further degradation of things. And more I see that not only has it got to happen, something will happen with the real true church of Jesus Christ. First of all, he said the Spirit is to be poured out upon all flesh. Now, how is that going to happen? How is God going to pour it out? Now, when the Bible talks about all flesh, he's talking about humanity. Not just saints, but all humanity. All of Christianity, but all of the earth. According to Mr. Strong, it takes in the entire spectrum. Now, if that is to happen, where is that outpouring going to come from? How is it going to take place if such a thing is actually to happen? Now, I believe that revival, in one sense of the word, is a world word. Renewal is a church word. We are dealing with the church, not religion. Now, I know that you look at religion as it's been, that what used to be, what is now. I'm not talking about that which is dead. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, the true church. Out of all of the death that's come and gone, there's always been a people. Elijah arrived at a place that he thought he's the only one left. God said, no, you're not. There's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal, and at no time in the history since Calvary, since Pentecost, has there ever been a time when there wasn't somebody on this earth that represented God? There's been a church. Never been a time when that wasn't so. When the vast majority were lost, there were still a people. Now, the world will be revived and the church to be renewed, but there can be no revival in the world. I'm not talking about the whole world being saved, but I am talking about a manifestation of God that makes them realize there's a reality, that there has to be that. We can curse the darkness, but I can tell you, when a people, wife and I stayed in a hotel, an old castle, maybe 300-400 years old, been converted, one of the most unique places that I've ever been. We were in church on the Sunday evening when we come. That place was wall to wall, sitting on the stairs, up right next to the door of our room. There's no more room for them there as they drink the spirits, totally oblivious of the fact of the church or anything else. Now, you and I can curse that, and we can damn them. They are damned. But somehow there's got to be a manifestation of God where it's not just the argument of religion. If that's all there is, if the Church of England's all there is, then I don't want any of it either. But there has to be a manifestation of God. The church will never see a revival until the church is renewed. I believe revival means to be brought back from the dead. Renewal means to renew that which is still alive. Now, the church is alive. It may look dead, sound dead, and a lot of times smell dead, but the real church of God is alive. It always is. And the only God life on this earth that can touch those people outside of it is in this church, or in his church, rather, wherever it's found. No place else on the earth will you find this. The only God life, the only life of God that can manifest itself in this society or anywhere on this earth is found in the people of God, in that which is called the church. Now, it is with that organism that I deal with this morning, not some dead religious organization, not some dead. They're set here this morning, a part of that church. There's some set here this morning and in this television audience that are dead to God, but there's those that are alive. They're birthed, And the life of God that is to save, to heal, to deliver is in them. Now, the only God life, the world needs reviving, but it'll never be revived until that church is renewed in its dedication and its purpose to God. Now, there's three things I believe that will take place in the church before we can start the move that'll bring about this end time. Now, I'm not saying it hasn't started, but I am saying to you there's some things. I believe it started in us, in our life. I'm not too sure as I look at things that we haven't moved into the threshold of the tribulation as we look about the things that's taking place in the world. I'm not too sure as to where we are, but I know there has to be a renewal of the church, which in turn will produce a revival in the world, not the whole world being saved. But when that church represents God in the way that it should, then the influence of that church will be felt. Then there'll come that sound from heaven, as always it's happened. Now Jesus is coming, and I believe we're on the horizon of that at this moment in time. I believe that you can almost hear the sound of it. He is coming. There's a people being ready for that moment now. There's a people being made aware that we've moved toward the end of it. There is a new examination of things. I was blessed in the few services to see what I believe was a stirring. Man said to me, I went to conventions all over. All it is a little song, dance, a lot of hype. Nobody to deal with the heart of that human being. Christ is coming. And I believe also that we're moving into a time of revival. I don't think the whole nation's going to get up and confess God, but I do believe those that will be saved are going to have an opportunity to accept or reject Him on the grounds of reality and not just merely a religious argument. They're going to be able to see Christ in that organism we call the church. We move toward that in this hour. God is beginning a new thing, and that new thing is the old thing. That's Pentecost. Poured through that church, everything must return to its beginning. Everything on this earth has to return. This body has to return to the dust. This spirit to God. And the church has to return to real Pentecost again. It was born not a Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, but a tongue-talking church in Jerusalem over around 2,000 years ago. And the church He's going to come after is a Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-led, tongue-talking, gift-operating, Jesus-making real church. Are you listening to me? That church has to be renewed to that. Amen. Its structure, it's everything. The church, if you want to know what He's coming after, have a look at the book of Acts. That's what it was in the beginning. That's what it will return to in the end. It's not going back to staid forms. It's going to be delivered from that. Men are going to see Christ in that church as we come down to the end. Now, everything returns to its beginning. Now, there's three things that must happen in the church, and that renewal will be complete. I believe, after a lot of consideration and a reading of this Bible, first, the church has got to know something. It's got to know something. This is a part of it I want to deal with this morning. But second, it's got to do something. And third, it's got to have something. This is where I want to deal with over for maybe a few weeks. I do believe God has singled us as a part of this end time movement. We've never fit along with the classic Pentecostal situation today. Somehow there's been a disturbance and a hunger in hearts. I confess to you, we're not where we ought to be, but I do confess there's a hunger to be there in this place this morning. There's a hunger in this heart to be there. There's a lot that should be done that somehow we've lacked the ability to do. We must be honest with ourselves and know, but we must know what He wants out of us. The church must know something. It's got to do something. It's got to have something. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, He says, "Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Know you not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. This we have to know. This is the truth that has to grip us. The Hebrew word has different meanings. The first one is understanding. God is saying to us, you must understand that God lives in us, that we are the vessel of the Lord. We are the territory of God. That's so easy for that to be in your mind and never grip your heart. When Paul writes, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is that hope of his calling, of his inheritance in the saints. We must know that we are the temple of God. Amen. It's understanding. The second meaning, or the first meaning, is understanding. God says, don't you understand that you're God's temple and that God's Spirit doesn't dwell anywhere else except in you? What a responsibility that puts on us. Don't you know, church, that we are the vessel of the Lord, and that that Spirit to save, to deliver, to heal doesn't dwell anywhere else? Amen. Nowhere. The church must from the heart understand this. It will totally transform us. I believe the very knowledge of this truth would turn us around in our understanding, especially to one another. If I really know that God lives in you, I'm not going to allow anybody to talk to me about that. I'm not going to get on anybody's television and expose some kind of a sin. If I really understand that God dwells in you and I. Now, wherever in the Bible that you find the word dwelleth, the F words of the Bible, E-T-H, and the subject of the sentence is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then that F says that's a behavior of God. When it said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, it means that is the nature of God. He'll never fail to forgive you if you come to him with the right spirit. That's his nature. You don't have to beg him for that. Who healeth all thy diseases, that means it's the nature of God to heal. And who dwelleth, the Holy Spirit dwelleth in us, it means he's always there. You say, well, you don't know what I did yesterday. Doesn't matter. He knows. He's still there. I'm not talking about murder. I'm not talking about adultery. I'm talking about those failures of the Christian life. God dwelleth. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit away from me. It is here that I must understand. And if I know that God dwelleth in you, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But God dwelleth in us. That'll make a whole lot of difference of how we look one to another. The very knowledge, if we understood it, amen, that my brother, my sister were the temple of God, that they house the God that I pray to when I'm sick, the God that I pray to when I'm hungry, the God that I pray to when I want a revival, dwells in Donnie Dean. If I understand that, listen, there's a new respect come for the church. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's something to belong to the body of Christ. It's something to be a part of the great church of Jesus Christ. In thee, in you, and in me, there is a God that heals, that saves, that fills. Whenever they prayed, the God was there in that temple. They looked at that temple. I can tell you, when we demonstrate this truth, then men will rap on the door of that church because they know that's where God is. They know that's where he is. If I really understand, where's God? Have a look at your wife. Amen. Have a look at your wife if she's a born again. Have a look at your husband. Where is God? God says, look at her. She is my temple. I live in her. Amen. God is everywhere. The Bible said, if I ascend to the highest heaven, behold, you're there. If I go to the lowest hell, you're there. If I go as far east as I can, David said, you're there. To the farthest west, you're there. Thy right hand shall guide me. Thy hand shall uphold me. God says he's everywhere, but never one time does God say he lives in his cosmic world. God lives in his body, and through that body's presence and God's omnipresence, God is everywhere. But everywhere is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God lives there. It isn't that God lives in buildings. It isn't that God lives in the air. God is everywhere. You can't ever separate that. But God lives in His people. That's what we must know. God has pressed my heart with this thought, that there must come an understanding of this. Oh, listen, so many times our prayers are fruitless because we don't even know where God is. Amen. We're looking for something to come a billion miles across space, and God is saying He dwelleth. That's His nature. That's His behavior. God dwelleth in us. Amen. The power to set free is a product of what we are. He does not live anywhere else. Amen. We must understand we are God's territory. God lives in us. He doesn't live anywhere else except this body. Therefore, I will refuse to abuse that body. God spoke to me some time ago in the office about three things. He said, I am judging the ministry. And we know how that's been taking place. I will later judge the whole body. I will purge it. But he said, I'm judging the ministry on three things. One, their morals. Two, their message. Three, their misuse of the bride of Christ. Amen. That's the one that stirred my soul. Their misuse. Listen, when I recognize that God dwells in us, then there'll be no more abuse out of me. I look at how I've looked at the church, some things I've said about it. Let me tell you, I grew up, my sister, we were very close when we grew up as little. Older, we were separated. But growing up, she was 2 years older than I was. We did a lot of fighting. Did a lot of fighting. But I can tell you one thing. Anybody else would have jumped me, that sister was there. Anybody who's saved, she may tell me, you're nothing but a small brat. That's all. You're nothing. But somebody else say that to me, and Alzo would be on top of them. We don't hang this washout, folks. We're where God lives. There's nobody in this house that's perfect this morning. If you are, please excuse us imperfect folks. Amen. You help us. We're striving to get there. But I can tell you one thing. With all of these imperfections, God dwelleth. Hallelujah. I said, God dwelleth. He dwelleth. Oh, my God. He dwelleth in me and in you. And if I know that, I won't be saying things. I won't be gloating when one of the brothers or sisters has problems. There won't be any gossip about that, ladies and gentlemen. When I recognize the God that I pray to is an elven force, my God, I become to reverence that temple, not to worship it, but to have a respect for it. He doesn't live in this building. He lives in us. Oh, listen, before the church can be renewed to what God wants it, there must come that recognition of that fact. There must come. There's so much cheap murmuring and talking and petty gossip and little old self-feelings. Amen. Let me tell you, I don't have no ministry except the ministry of God. And when you bring it down to it's my ministry, my prophecy, my gift, brother, it's time the church evacuated that and come to realize He has given me a measure of faith. That is, God doesn't, all of the Holy Spirit's not in me. The Bible said He gave it to His Son without measure. His Son is the sum and total of what the church is. But He said He gave you and I a measure of that faith, a measure of that Spirit. I have to have you. You have to have me. It's we that come to give that which is lacking. It has been a time when a gospel has been preached that promised everything, cost nothing, filled the church with tares, got the church full of snake oil theology of the inner healing, that always everything is a devil, so that the people come to church like they go to a psychiatrist for some kind of a treatment. My God, we didn't come here to be treated. We come here together to make Christ real in this town. You go to most meetings. They're held healing meetings. And they're held all kinds of things. And people come with this snake oil theology. You see them coming. They're always coming to get some kind of a treatment. They come down. We go through the ritual. Now, was your daddy a Mason? Was your mama in the occult? Did you ever read or have target cards in your house? Pray this little prayer, take me back to my mother's womb. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. 41 years ago, I was birthed of God. All of that died. Amen. Reckon yourself dead. It doesn't matter what that papa did. This father that I have now has never been a part of an occult. Oh, hallelujah to God. I'm in God, and God is in me. And it doesn't matter what granddad did. My old granddad on my dad's side used to tell me that his great-granddad, the reason we're here from Ireland or Scotland, he said, was it tried to hang my great-granddad, and the rope broke. He was a horse thief, and he said the rope broke. And so they give him the opportunity to either migrate or hang again, and said he left. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I can tell you, it doesn't matter that my great-great-great-granddad was a horse thief. I'm not a horse thief. I'm a new creature. God lives in me, and there's no devils in me. Oh, no devils in me. All of this voodoo, snake oil stuff. I've got them coming. People come into church to get some kind of a treatment. Let me tell you, I come here to treat this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Amen. I have something you need. You have something I need. And if you and I, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, will add to that which is lacking, all of Jesus will be in this house. And I can tell you, if all of Jesus ever gets here, there won't be one sick human leave here sick. You hear me? There won't be one devil-possessed leave here possessed. If Jesus is made real in this house, oh, hallelujah. Oh, but listen. He lives in his body. Amen. And by their presence, his omnipresence, they're everywhere. To know, though, means not just to understand, but according to Mr. Strong, it means to acknowledge. We need to acknowledge to one another, God lives in me. That's not bragging, that's the truth. God lives in me. I know I'm nothing. And it's a frightening thing, but it is in this earthen vessel that the treasure is. God lives in me. That has to be acknowledged one to another. Let us do it. I see God inside you. You're my brother. I'll never expose you. I'll never listen to the devil talk about you. You have faults. I have faults. We can pray one for another, but I'll not let the devil talk about somebody that God lives in. I find him. I'm going to find him in you. Amen. We need to acknowledge it one to another. We must understand who we are. We're God's territory. Can you say amen? We're the place where God lives. He made it that way. It is here, right here, in our hearts. Amen. When you look into the eyes of that human being that's born of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're looking where God is. Amen. You're looking. Listen, he does not live anywhere else except in his body. And I'm not going to abuse that. You hear me? I'm not going to abuse it. To know then means to experience. Did you know that the first time in the Bible that this word is used is in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 is the first time that this word is used, knew. And it says that Adam knew his wife. Amen. They knew his wife. You know what happened? They two become one flesh. What happened then? Babies began to be born. Is that right? Babies began to be born. That's the same word he's talking. Know you not, listen, to come to experience that union with God. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There has to be, to know means to experience. Amen. When those two became one, then the earth was on its way to be populated. And so it is, listen, to know, to experience this, to know God. Oh, my. To experience this fact that God is in us, ladies and gentlemen, is a key to everything. I said it's a key to everything. The Bible says if we really begin to experience the fact that we're God's temple, that the Holy Ghost is here to save the lost lives in us, then the world's going to be the path to our door. If we really begin to experience that Holy Ghost, which is God, that's here to save, to heal, to fill, lives in me. I can tell you the world will come. We're God's temple. We're God's temple. Oh, that that would take a hold. You know the word temple has two meanings. One, it means a total outer court. All of it. The outer takes it all in. That, you know where that tabernacle was? They have the outer court, then they have the holy place, then the holy of holies. And the first word for temple takes that in. It takes in that thought of the outer court and that holy place. But the second word is the holy of holies. Amen. The holy of holies. You know what happened there? The priest went in once a year. He had blood on his ear, blood on his thumb, blood on his toe, and he had a basin of blood that he went in there and poured on that altar, on that place between the cherubims. He went in there and poured it. If it was accepted, he went back out and announced to the people. They're all outside. And he announces to the people that God has accepted and your sins have been covered and removed for another year. And the people shout, and the holy place is filled with the glory of God. The holy of holies is filled. Read it in your Bible. When he came and said to them, the sacrifice has been accepted. And then they began to praise God, and the glory of God filled that holy place. Listen, we are the holy of holies. My God, it's in us that this thing lives. You hear me? I said we're the holy of holies of God on this earth choir. We are the dwelling place. We are the territory of God. Amen. We are God's holy of holies. Look at it. Jesus died. That's a sacrifice. He arose. That says God accepted him. He ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And when he sat down, the people are all in that upper room, and they're praising and shouting. What they're saying, so be it. Amen. And when he sat down, then that Holy Ghost came and filled that holy of holies. There was a shout raised, just like the Old Testament, into that holy of holies. In Jerusalem, 120 people became the holy of holies. Amen. They became the holy of holies. Listen, when he went in and put that blood and the sins were covered, I read that and I said, we are the only place on this earth where God has done that. That blood has not been applied to this building door. It hadn't been applied to that Catholic church. It hadn't been applied anywhere but people that are born again. And where that blood was, when it was accepted, then the glory of God, the Holy Ghost came and filled that temple. And when that blood was there, there was, when Jesus was glorified, the temple was filled. The people of God praise it. So be it. Just like the Old Testament, the glory filled the temple. The glory filled the temple. In an upper room, 120 people became the Holy of Holies, the dwelling place of God. Think of it. Just as the Old Testament time, if men deal with God, they got to deal with him in that holy place, in the Holy of Holies. Listen, when they prayed in that Old Testament, they knelt to face the east, or wherever that temple was. They knelt to pray, to look toward that temple, because that temple was the dwelling place of God on this earth. Where that ark was, that's where God was. Amen. That's reading the Old Testament tabernacle was a witness. God lived in the heart of it. Right there in that holy place, God was. Amen. There in the holy. Now, they look toward that. Now, the church as the body of Christ has become the holy of holies. And men need to know that God lives on this earth in his people. That's got to be known in the church today. That's got to be taken a hold of. It's got to be something that we know that God is here in me. We are the holy of holies. Now, he said, you will be witness. God lived in that tabernacle. The glory was always felt in and through that tabernacle. Always. When that upper room was filled with the glory of God. Thousands were attracted to that place. 3,000 were saved. Listen, when that glory came, thousands of people from every nation under heaven came and gathered at the door of that upper room, however it was. They were there in the streets because God had come. There was a manifestation. He's located. He's right here. Where is he? In them people. That's where he is. He's coming in to 120 people. It's no longer now a room in the temple. It's no longer a room in the Old Testament tabernacle. But your heart has become the holy of holies, the place where God lives. And when that came, they became a witness immediately. Nobody's gone into the street saying, why don't some of you folks come see what's happening over here? They're gathered there by the fact that there's a witness in Jerusalem. God has found a temple to live in, and there's a real witness there. He's flowing out, and thousands were attracted. Listen, God has no other strategy for revival. None. There is none. I've just my heart. I've thought about all of the things to do to promote this, to promote that. But the one thing that God has laid upon my heart is that the whole thing rests with a manifestation of Christ. He lives in us. We've got to settle that. We have to experience that. I'll be dealing in these messages, but I want to close with this thought here and press it further later. But he said, in those last days when that spirit was poured out, that the old man was going to dream a dream. Amen. Now, he's not talking about somebody on a cane, folks. No. He's not talking about somebody on a cane. But what he's talking about, that word old man, is the same word they use for elders or overseers. Amen. And what he's saying is, that man goes in to the presence of God, hears what God is saying, sees what God is doing. Two words are used. It is a prophet. One of them means that a seer, and the other means that he preaches till he foams at the mouth. Now that's some strange thing, but he comes back. He goes into the presence of God, and he comes back. Listen, he comes back. He's heard and saw what God has to say, and he preaches like a somebody from another world. And young men see a vision, and the vision is they get a part, a piece of the old man's dream, and they burn with it. Let me tell you, there's nobody going to come to watch an old man dream, but son, they'll come to watch a young man burn. Are you listening to me? My God, it is. God said to me, if you'll go in there, oh God, and you'll hear what I'm saying, and you'll see what I'm doing, and you'll come back and preach till you foam at your mouth, there'll be young men sitting there that'll get a part of that dream and burn with it. And I can tell you, bull model, come, young people, and watch you burn if you'll get a hold of it. Church isn't a religious organization. It is a place where God lives. It's a place where God lives. All that God is to be represented there. He's saying to us, number one, you've got to know that you are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. God lives in you. God lives in my brother. God lives in my sister. God lives in my people. God is here. That I begin to think. I've criticized the church. I've had things to say. And let me tell you, there's not a one of us here. All of the troubles that come to the church, if we're not careful, there's kind of a feeling, a wrong feeling about troubles that come sometimes. We're almost like we say, well, I had it coming. Let me tell you, there isn't any other place on this earth where this God life is. We better respect it. I understand what he meant when he said, you defile this body, I'll destroy it. Let me tell you, young people, you sitting here, he may come today, he may not. I didn't think that daughter of mine had ever lived to be grown, but her daughter's grown. I don't know. I believe he's coming. But if he doesn't, he says, all sin is without this body. say the sin of fornication, it's against this body. Defile this body, he'll destroy you. What he's saying is, you keep it chaste, you keep it pure. He lives there. But if you abuse or defile it, as a Christian, a lot of things happened to us before we got here. I'm talking about now, new creature. Defile it. He will destroy you. Because this is a dwelling place of God. Bow your heads. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, Holy Spirit of God. Such a privilege to be in this house this morning. What our heart feels. Lord, you've been working over the last weeks and months. You're bringing us to the place. I know it. I sense it. We're going to see the greatest move of God ever we dreamed. We must understand that it's not only in us, it must come out of us. Don't let anybody leave here this morning without knowing you. Lord, you're in this house to save. You never deal with the human heart that you won't minister to the need of that human spirit. Great God this morning. Great God this morning. Don't let anybody walk out of here without knowing you. Don't let a saint leave this house without the understanding. You live